Good morning. Today's daf and Bava Kama is Ayin Gimel. Thank Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zechlin Shmas Liba Gabriela Bashmul. We begin today in Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, starting with the two dots Tanan. We learned in a Mishnah. Before we continue in the Gemara, let's just quickly recap what we saw yesterday. On the tail end of Ayin Beis Amud Beis, we learned a Mishnah yesterday. The Mishnah on Ayin Beis Amud Beis discusses testimony about a Geneva and about a Tficha. The witnesses saw a guy steal, and then the witnesses subsequently saw the guy shech the animal that he stole. So as we've been learning since the beginning of the seventh parak of Bava Kamma, so when you steal something and you're caught by witnesses, come and testify that you stole, so you have to not only make reimbursement of that which you stole, which you would have had to have done anyway, but on top of that, you also now have to pay kafel. You have to pay a second round of that which you stole, twice the value of that which you stole. That is a fine because Torah imposes it. And additional to that, if you then compound your error by shechting the animal or selling the animal, so then you have to pay four or five times the value of the animal if it's either a shor or seh, an ox or a sheep. So this is what we've been discussing since the beginning of the perek. Here in our Mishnah, we're talking about Edom Zalmimim, where witnesses come and testify about the fact that you both stole and you shechted, and now it's just going to be a question of the Edom turned out to be Edom Zalmimim. A second pair of witnesses come forward and say, I don't know how the first pair of the witnesses could have said anything, could have testified anything. They were with us at the time. And because they were with us at the time that they claimed, the crime occurred, I don't know how they could be testifying. So there's a Chiddush Torah, so the Torah provides a novel rule, and that is that we believe the second set of witnesses over the first set of witnesses. Moreover, not only do we give credibility to the second set of witnesses, but the first set of witnesses, Vasisim lo kasher zamam lasos lachiv, whatever they conspire to do to the defendant, so that conspiracy is going to go right back on them. Okay, so this is the parsha of Edom Zalmimim. Yes.
Do they have to come each? Who says they have to come together?
Yes.
They have to come together.
Yes.
If they come together, any of them that says, the second set.
Yeah.
The second set, if they are Zalmimim also themselves, right?
Presumably, yeah. They also, yeah.
If one of them is not saying the truth, so the other one who's coming with him is not also telling the truth, because it cannot be in a situation that one of them is Zalmimim. Because they have to come together.
Correct.
They have to conspire together.
Yes.
So if one of them is not right, there is no situation that it would be one of them by himself. That's what I'm saying.
Well, right. In other words, they can't...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they can point to one of the witnesses and say...
No, themselves. The two themselves. The second set. It says,
yeah.
The second set could not be the... By themselves could be conspiring against the first set.
They have to come... Right. They have to come as a pair. They'll have to come as...
They might come as a pair. There would be no situation...
All right, they have to, right. Well, the second set are going to have to come together for sure. So the what the Mishnah did for us in yesterday's daf is that the Mishnah simply gave us, broke it down into what if the second set of witnesses came and testified about. Called into question both the testimony on the Geneva and the testimony on the Tzvicha. What if the second set of witnesses only called into question the Geneva? What if they only called into question the Tzvicha? And so what the Mishnah did for us, it just simply broke it down for us in terms of which aspect of the testimony was actually called into question, based on the principle of Edom Zalmimim in Imanu Aizim HaMakom Ploni. Okay, and that is what we saw yesterday. And then after the Mishnah, we then went to the Gemara, and the Gemara provided for us a really basic machlokes between Abaye and Rava. And let's present it again. Abaye says, I'm just summarizing, we're going to do it outside. Abaye says that, let's say there's T1, T2, right? T1 meaning time position 1, and T2 time position 2. And at T1, the witnesses gave testimony and they said whatever they said. In other words, they provide the testimony on T1. And yesterday we said, in terms of dates, they gave the testimony on the first day of Nisan. A month later, on the first day of Iyar, they were called into question. And they were called into question, what I mean by that is that you had a pair of witnesses, a second pair of witnesses who said, I don't know how in the world they could have testified at the time. They were with us at the time. And then they were proven to be Edom Zalmimim. And so the question becomes the following question. So now we have an entire month where It was post T1, meaning they were lying at the time, but the discovery only took place a month later. So now we're certainly going to disqualify them from T2. That goes without saying. Meaning once we have discovered that they're lying, so therefore they are witnesses who lie, and they have lost their credibility, and they can no longer testify. The only question that Abai and Rav are debating is, what about the time between T1 and T2? In other words, so from the point that they actually lie to the point of discovery, are we going to impugn their credibility during that period of time? So Abai says, sure. And as I pointed out yesterday, Abai is providing, doesn't need to provide much argument. It's very intuitive. Abai's position is, we only discovered it at T2, but they were lying at T1. So if they were lying at T1, so that it's at that point in time that their credibility is called into question. They're not called into question. They are discredited from T1. So from that point going forward, even though we didn't know about it, their aedus is simply not going to be valid. And what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to reopen every case that took place in Beis Din that they testified between T1 and T2, and we're just simply going to throw it out. That is a biased position, and as I pointed out, it's just a very intuitive position. And then the Rava. And Rava says no. Rava says that even though the discovery took place at a later point in time, we're only going to disqualify them from the point of discovery from T2, and we're not going to go back to T1. And why not? So to this, the Gemara gave two explanations. One explanation is, look, this is an issue of Adam Zomimim. And we have one pair of witnesses saying one thing, and we have a second pair of witnesses saying, I don't know how the first witnesses could be saying that. They were with us at the time. And really, when all said and done, we have two witnesses who are arguing with one another. Now, the Torah says we're going to believe the second set over this first set. But really, that's a chiddush. Meaning, if you're having witnesses who are disputing one another, so generally speaking, we throw it out the door. In other words, okay, we don't know which one's right, and we throw them both out. In the parsha of Adam Zomimim, we believe the second set of witnesses over the first set of witnesses. That's a chiddush. Rava says, okay, now that we're in the world of chiddush, ein bo ela mechidusha ve'elach. You got to minimize the chiddush. You can't go back to T1 because the fact that we even believe the second set of witnesses, that's really a novel idea. Granted, the Torah gives us this idea, but it's such a novel idea, so therefore we're only going to discredit the witnesses from the point of the chiddush, meaning from the point of discovery, not from the point that they actually testified. That's one explanation on behalf of Rava. A second explanation of Rava is that, and really Rava agrees with Abaye, really we should go back to T1 and we should discredit them from the point of T1. It's just that we've now went an entire month where we didn't know that they were lying, and we've been relying on the testimony the entire month. A lot of transactions occurred on their behalf, and now we're going to go back and we're going to reopen all those cases, and we're going to force people to give back property that they purchased, they thought they legitimately purchased. So Pseda de Lukuchos, we're just worried about all those transactions that occurred. We don't want people to have to go back and redo all those cases. So therefore, we're theoretically, fundamentally, we should disqualify them from T1, but because of Pseda Lukuchos, we're going to go to T2. And the Gemara pointed out that they're based on these two reasons behind Rava, they're going to be nafkaminas. The Gemara pointed that out. We're not going to go through them again. The Gemara gave two nafkaminas. But then the Gemara concluded that this is one of the rare instances in the Gemara where we're going to pass like Abai, not like Rava. This is one of the Yalkagam. The Yalkagam is an acronym for the six times throughout Shas that we pass like Abaye. This is the Ayin. Right, you can highlight one of the Yalkagams. This is the Adam Zomimim, whether or not we pass them Lamafreya. And on this we go like Abaye, where we do pass them Lamafreya. Adkan. That took us to what we saw yesterday, and now we continue now the two dots in the Gemara, and we are 9 Gimel Amud Aleph. We're about the two dots, seven lines from the top of the Amud. Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah. Ganav al pi yishnaim v'tavach macha al pi hem. So we go back to our Mishnah. What did our Mishnah teach us? The Geneva, a person was accused of stealing through two witnesses. And the same two witnesses said that they shechted or sold the animal. V'tavach macha al pi hem. V'nimtzu zomimim. And now these witnesses turn out to be Adam Zomimim, meaning the second pair of witnesses say, I don't know how they could have testified, they were with us at the time. Mishamim esakol. Because now the Adam are Adam Zomimim, so therefore whatever they conspired, in this case, they conspired to have the defendant pay five times, let's assume it's a shore, five times the value of the animal, so therefore the witnesses themselves are going to have to now go out of their own pocket and pay five times to the defendant.
What about the kefil?
Huh? Meaning, kefil's included. When we say dal v'hei, it means kefil and another three. So zomim hasham esakol. So my lav sheidu al gneva v'chazav heidu al tzvicha. So the Gemara says, now, let's consider What must be the case in the Mishnah? So presumably the case in the Mishnah goes as follows. That first they testified about the theft, meaning because that's how the order has to be. They first testified about the theft, and then they testified about the shechting of the animal. Now, v'huzmola geneva v'chaz v'huzmola tvicha. And then in terms of their disqualification, so presumably, that also came in two stages as well. Well, first, the second pair of witnesses came and they discredited them on the geneva, and afterwards they came and they discredited them on the tvicha as well. Now, the Gemara over here is going to make a fantastic comment and what seems to be a difficulty. Now, if Abaye is right, now again, we paskin like Abaye, but even in our state of post-paskin like Abaye, but if Abaye is right, so the Gemara now is going to make a fantastic point, and that is, So the Gemara says, so now they were first discovered to be Edom Zomimim on the Geneva. Now, according to Abaye, we go back to T1. So since we go back to T1, so from that point now going forward, they're Edom Psulim. They're disqualified witnesses. Any testimony they give after that is going to be simply discredited. It's going to be discarded. So now, it's true that they came at a subsequent point in time, and they testified about the tficha, but now because we went back to Mafreya, so that means that then when they testified about the tficha, they were simply not kosher edim. And we should, and they shouldn't be subject to edim zomimim, since we are simply discrediting them.
It's the same set of witnesses?
Yes. This is a case where it's the same set of witnesses. So amai mishama matvicha. So why should they have to pay for the tvicha? You're only going to pay for being Edom Zomimim if you were Edom. But because we went back to T1, and at the point of T1 they were proven to be lying, so from that point going forward, they're just simply not kosher Edom. What's such a good question?
But they still intended to pay.
It's very nice that they intended. They're not kosher Edom.
No. But they're never kosher
Edom. Well, they were not kosher Edom, right.
So you can make the argument that in the first testimony.
But that's the point of Azama, meaning it's for that particular Edus that they're going to have to pay because they were conspiring. But from that point now going forward, so according to Abaye, they have, even if they go to court, just words coming out of their mouth, that has no, the words after that point in time have no validity. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Amri achba ma'iskin kagon shehuz malatvicha tchila." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so maybe what we could suggest is that, well, let's just reverse the hazama order. Meaning, obviously, we can't reverse the edus, the original edus order. It has to, of course, be first geneva and then tvicha. But let's reverse the hazama order, where the second pair of witnesses come in and say that, you know, the first set of witnesses testified about the shechting. Well, they can't testify about the shechting. They were with us at the time. And then they come and they testify about the geneva. Well, they also couldn't testify about the geneva because they were with us at the time. But the Gemara says, now this doesn't really help us at all. It didn't solve any problem. Amre. So if ki hadre mitzame geneva iglam milsa dechiasira tvicha psun havu amai mishama matvicha. So the Gemara says it didn't. This suggestion did not help us because even if you reverse the order of the hazama, ultimately, when all said and done, when they get disqualified on the geneva, so again according to Abaye, we go back to that point. And we go back to that point, and we say, from that point now going forward, they have simply no right to testify in court. And any testimony they give in the court is just simply not going to be regarded. And retroactively is going to be disqualified. So now, even though the Hazama came first on the Shechting, then on the Geneva, but ultimately, once they were passed on the Geneva, and once we're going back retroactively, so now, their meaning, the original testimony on the tvicha is coming from witnesses who simply have no credibility whatsoever. And so since they have no credibility, so it's not testimony. And therefore they're not subject to hazama. So the Gemara says, V'hilchasa she'ida b'vasachas v'huzmu. So the Gemara says, fine, you're right. The only way to explain our Mishnah is going to be where the hazama comes to them simultaneous, where the original testimony itself was simultaneous. We'll discuss that in more detail in just a moment. But basically, so now the testimony itself, the original testimony was bundled, both on the Geneva and on the Tvicha. And the Hazama also comes in a bundle package as well. In that case, so then we can have a case in which they're going to be, they meaning the first pair of witnesses, are going to be liable for the entirety of Dalet Vehe. Well, the Gemara is going to discuss in just a moment. It's Tokhidei Dibor. When we say Bas Achas, we really mean Tokhidei Dibor. So, and the Gemara, and you'll see that clear in the Gemara as well. Okay. So where do we stand right now? Again, Machlokas Abaye and Rava. Now it's funny. The Gemara, after presenting the halacha, the Gemara goes back to discuss in more detail. But it's not the first time we've seen that. We've seen this happen a number of times throughout Shas. Okay, we know the halacha falls like Abaye. We know that on the topic of Eidus Lamafreya, we go back to T1, we paskal like Abaye. And despite the fact that we have paskal the halacha, the Gemara now continues, it's a discussion lema kitanai. Let us suggest that this machlokas between Abaye and Rav is really a machlokas tanayim. Let's introduce ourselves to a brisa. And you know how structurally the Gemara is going to work. We're going to learn a brisa together. There's going to be a machlokas tanayim. And what the Gemara is going to try to do is fit in the machlokas Abaye and Rav into the machlokas tanayim. Although what's going to be a little bit difficult is just simply trying to understand what the Tanaim themselves are talking about. See, so let's see it inside. Two people come and testify that Reuven stole from Shimon, and they also went on further to report that Reuven not only stole, but then subsequent to having stolen the animal, Reuven also shechted the animal as well. Now, v'huz mal ha'geneva, and then they turn out to be Edom Zomimim on the geneva. Okay, meaning a second pair of witnesses come and say, how could they possibly have testified about the theft? Again, in order to testify, you have to say, the first thing you're going to have to say is time and place. Right? That's the seven basic questions that are asked regarding every Eidus. When did it happen? Where did it happen? And now comes in the second pair of witnesses and say, how could you say that that occurred at this time and at that place? Because you know you were with us together at that time in a totally different location. So how could you testify? In other words, classic Edom Zomimim. So the second pair of witnesses are accusing the first set of witnesses of being Edom Zomimim, but specifically on the Geneva. So now, Edish Abatla Miksas Abatla Kula. So now, well, if there's no theft, so then they certainly can't be, the defendant cannot be liable for shechting the animal. Because even though it's true the defendant may in fact have shechted the animal, Reuven may have shechted the animal, but it could be that it's his own animal that he shechted and not a stolen animal. Fine. Now, who's malatzvicha? Who misham teshlam ekefa? Vehem misham teshlam eishlosha. Now, let's say the edim hamazimim come and discredit the edim zomimim, the first pair of witnesses, not on the theft, meaning the theft, the edim stands. They actually stole, but then they come in. They come in and they testify. Not only did Reuven steal, but Reuven also shechted the animal. And on that, now the second pair of witnesses says, "How could you have testified about the shechting when you say the shechting of the animal occurred on such a time and such a place? You were with us at the time." So now the first pair of witnesses are proven to be Edom Zomimim on the shechting. So now we're going to break down the payment in terms of the kefel Reuven stole. And at the time when these witnesses testified about Reuven, they were at that point in time kosher witnesses. So therefore, Reuven himself is going to have to pay not only full restitution on the animal, but kefil, because he stole and he was caught by witnesses. In terms of now the next payment for shechting of stolen goods, well, the witnesses were proven to be Edom Zomimim, so they're going to have to pay what they conspired for Reuven to pay. What did they conspire Reuven to pay? So Reuven's already covering two times the payment, so they wanted Reuven to pay a total of five, so they're going to now have to cover the difference. The Edom Zomimim are going to have to pay three of the five. Fine. We saw this back in the Mishnah already. So far, so good. Amar Reb Yossi. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. Okay, for the most part, it's fine. Now comes along Rav Yossi and says, "By medvar, mamor b'shtei edios, I agree, but only if it's two testimonies. I will leave that right now in its ambiguous sense. That's only when it's two testimonies. Aval be'edus achas, but if it's one testimony, edus abad l'miksas abad l'kula. Well, once part of the testimony is debunked, so then the entirety of it is going to be debunked as well. Okay. So Rav Yossi is clearly arguing with the Tanakhama. That little we know. What we don't know at this point in time is what exactly is Rav Yossi saying and what is the Tanakhama disagreeing on Rav Yossi's position. My b'she'edios and my b'edos echa. So that's the Gemara's question. What did Rav Yossi mean? Elam and b'she'edios mamish kishtei. I'm sorry, b'shtei kitos and b'edos achas b'vas achas. I'm sorry, b'kas achas. B'ze achar ze. Maybe Rav Yossi, when he says two versus one, he means two, meaning two separate groups of witnesses. One group testifying about the shechting, one group testifying about the Geneva, and the second group testifying about the shechting. And when Rav Yossi says one group, he means one group testifying once about the theft, and a second time about the shechting. And the Amr of Yossi beidus achas bekas achas bezachar ze ki mesade geneva vahad mesade tvicha ki mitzame tvicha eidus shabat lemikzasa bat lakula vizame luha geneva. So the Gemara says, and maybe what Rav Yossi is saying is the following. If it's one set of witnesses who are first testifying about the theft and then subsequently testifying about the shechting, so maybe what Rav Yossi is saying is that since they are discredited about the shechting, they're also going to be discredited about their testimony about the theft as well. To which the Gemara says, if you think about it, you're only left scratching your head and wondering, well, why in the world should that be? The shechting obviously took place after the theft. Now, it's true that they were discredited about the theft, about the shechting, but that occurred at a later point in time. Up until that point in time, these witnesses had a cheskas kashrus. They were good. So why should it be that just because the witnesses were discredited about the shechting, now we're going to go even before, we're going to go pre-T1, and we're going to disqualify them for anything they said before that point in time? That's not even open for discussion. So the Gemara says, Mehechi teisihach. Where would that come from? So Ela Lav, so the Gemara says, so obviously, that can't be what Rav Yossi means. That's just simply not even open for discussion. So Ela Lav, shtei edios beidus achas, ken shtei edios, umayninu kas achas bezerchazel, ava beidus achas bevas achas, lo. So the Gemara says that when Rav Yossi talked about two versus one, he meant the following. He meant two, it's not two separate groups. It's the same pair of witnesses. Two means at two different times. One means all at the same time. So again, Reuven stole and shechted an animal from Shimon. And it's just now the difference we're going to make is whether the witnesses come and are testifying about the two actions at two separate occasions in Beis Din, or are they coming in and giving one grand testimony? Here's what Reuven did. We saw Reuven steal the animal on Sunday. We saw Reuven shech the animal on Monday. Now, I know today's Friday, but okay. There's no statute of limitations, not that I know of. None that I know of in terms of when, how long you could testify. And so, okay, so we're here on Friday. But this is what we're testifying about. Now, this is where the Gemara says is going to be the point of dispute between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi. Now, everyone's going to subscribe to the position of Toka de Dibra's Kedibra. Okay? That as long as the witnesses are providing the two testimonies back to back in court, and as long as they're doing so Toka de Dibra, meaning without any significant pause between the two testimonies, so now the two testimonies are bundled together. The testimonies are coming in as a package in front of Beis Din, being linked together through this principle of Toka de Dibra. So my la b'hakim iflagi. So the Gemara suggests, now with all this stated, so let's set it up. Sunday, the accusation goes as follows. In comes the witnesses on Friday. Right, today's Friday. In comes the witnesses on Friday, and they're making the following accusation regarding Reuven. Reuven stole the animal on Sunday. And wait one second, there's more. And I'm not going to pause. And Reuven also shechted the animal on Monday as well. So now Reuven should be liable to have to pay dal v'hei. Let's say it's an ox. Reuven has to pay now five times the amount. Now,
that's one testimony.
It's two testimonies. It's two separate testimonies, but without a pause in between. In other words, it's two crimes. One crime on the theft, and the second crime on the shechting. So it's two testimonies, but with no pause given in between. Now, my law b'hakim iflagi. Now, so let's consider. So, and. Before we consider. And obviously we have to now be talking about a scenario in which they are proven to be Edom Zomimim, but only on the Sunday Shech, on the Monday Shechting. So in other words, the second pair of witnesses come into court and the second pair of witnesses say, Monday? What are you talking about? You were with us at the time on Monday. How could you possibly be, testify about what happened on Monday? Remember, Monday we were on a trip together? Okay, so now, the Gemara says, now with all that in play, my law b'hakim iflagi. So the Gemara says this must be the subject of the debate. The Rabbanan Savri Mikanu Labahu Nifsal. So the Rabbanan says subscribe to Rava's position. I know Rava's an Amora, but in Svara, the Chachamim are subscribing to Rava's position that we go Mikanu Lahaba. We only go from T2. We don't go back to T1. V'kevin de me'ayishai to kamidzame atvicha de kamidzame aitzam agneva de la midzame. The me'ayishai to kamidzame atvicha de kamidzame aitzam agneva de la midzame lo aitzam. So the Gemara says that we're only going to be going on since we're only going from T2. We're only going from the time that they testified, and we're not going lemafre, and we're not going backwards. So therefore, we're going to say that they were only impugned on the shechting, not on the geneva. And so therefore, that is the Chachamim's position, is assuming that it subscribes to Rava's viewpoint. Meanwhile, Rav Yossi savor lemafre hu nifsa. So Rav Yossi says no. We go back, Lamafre, we go back to T1. We go back to the time of where they actually testified. Let me go back to the Chachamim. Let me just say it a little bit better and explain a little bit better. Meaning, again, according to the Chachamim, they're only going to be taken to task for the shechting, not for the theft. Right. So again, T2 is going to be the point of discovery. T1 is when they actually testified in court. So, according to the Chachamim, because we're only going from the point of discovery, since the discovery is only on the fact that they lied about the shechting, so that's it. Meaning, and we're not going to link together their second testimony, really their first testimony, on the theft as well. That's the Chachamim. Whereas, according to Rav Yossi, right, and according to Rav Yossi, Sarva Lamafreya Hunifsa, right, according to Rav Yossi, we go back to T1. T1 means we go back to the point where they actually testified. And you see now, when they actually testified, they said two testimonies back to back with no break in the middle. So once they are caught on one, and because the two testimonies were given together with no pause in between, so now these two testimonies get bundled together. And even though they're caught on the lie on shechting, but because it was given in conjunction with their testimony on the theft, so therefore they're going to be proven Adam Zoman Mim on both. That's Rav Yossi. So the Gemara says, Rav Yossi, Sarva Lamafreya Hunifsa, Vekevin de Miyad, Ki Asidu Hu de Mesula, Ki Itzamalu Atvicha, Itzamalu Nami Aganeva, Dahach Tok, De Dibra, Kedibra Dame. Okay.
One case, meaning that, forgive what Tok, De Dibra, but the whole testimony on stealing as well as slaughtering, even though the 2 days apart, it's one case.
Yeah, but it's two crimes. One crime is theft, and the second crime is shechting. Two crimes, two different punishments. I mean, it's money, but it's two different crimes, right? Remember the Gemara earlier in the parak talked about mishtar shbechet or mishal shbechet, but it's compounding the original crime, but the second crime is still a second crime. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amre. So the Gemara says, so now what we have set up is, presumably, the machlokis between the Tanakama and Rav Yossi is really an echo, I understand it's in reverse, but it's an echo of the machlokis between Rav and Abaye. That when the Edom HaMazimim come and discredit them, do we go back to the point of discovery, or do we go all the way back to the point where they actually testified? This is a proposed suggestion of the Gemara. Amre, so in the yeshiva, when they said, oh, this over, so they said, not necessarily. So the Gemara says, no, everyone agrees with Abai. We're going to go back to the point of where they actually testified. And if you subscribe to Tokhde Dibor, and then the two testimonies are bundled together. The Gemara, and once the discredit on one, they're going to be discredited on the other as well. The Gemara says, Allah Hakam. Meaning, we're not talking about the actual action of the crime. We're talking about the presentation of the original testimony. Right. The presentation of the original testimony was given together. So the Gemara says, Allah Hakam Tokhde Dibor, Kedibor Dame Kamiflagi. What is open for debate over here is whether or not Tokhde Dibor is Kedibor. So Rabbanan Savi Tokhde Dibor Lav Kedibor Dame. Top of Ein Gimel Mid Beis. And Rabbi Yossi Tzavah talking to Dibra Kedibra Dami. And the Gemara says, and what is that issue over here is the entire principle of Tokede Dibra. Now, I am making this a binary issue of whether they subscribe to Tokede Dibra or whether they don't subscribe to Tokede Dibra. It may not be that black and white. There may be nuance over here, but just in terms of the presentation of the Gemara. So let's just say it like this. I'm going to say it nice and simple, even though it may be oversimplification. That according to Rabbi Yossi, according to the Chachamim, we don't subscribe to Tokedei Dibur. And according to Rav Yossi, we do subscribe to Tokedei Dibur. And so now, if you don't subscribe to Tokedei Dibur, so even though the two testimonies were given back to back with no break in the middle, according to the Chachamim, those are two separate testimonies. And even though they were discredited on one, we're not going to bundle the other one together with it. Even though we are going to go Lamafreya, and we're going to go back to the time they actually testified. Whereas according to Rav Yossi, no. Once they are discredited on one, and because the second one was said, the first one was said within Tokedei Dibur of the second one, so once they're discredited on the second one, they're also going to be discredited on the first as well. The Gemara says, this is the Machlokas. So the Gemara says, but you have to, it has to work out with everything else that we know. V'savar Rav Yossi, Tokedei Dibur, Kedibur Dami V'atanan. So the Gemara says, does Rav Yossi really subscribe to this idea of Tokedei Dibur being Kedibur? But the Gemara says, let's learn together what we learned in the Mishnah. We've said this Mishnah over a number of times. I raise it tomorrow, solo tomorrow shlomim. You turn to an animal and you say this animal should be both in exchange for a carbon ola and for a carbon shlomim. So you're trying to make one single animal both a carbon ola and a carbon shlomim. It cannot be both. An ola and a shlomim are two totally different carbonos. Ola is totally burnt on the mizbeach. Shlomim, some of it, the yemurim is burnt on the mizbeach, but the remainder of the animal is eaten by the kohanim and the baalim. They're just two different carbonos. You cannot have a single animal being both an ola and a shlomim. So I raise it tomorrow, solo divra mer. So Rameir's position really simple. Tfos lashon rishon. First thing came out of his mouth is that this animal should be an ola, therefore the animal's an ola. And Rav Yossi amrei im lekach neskavim mitzchila hol v'yevshol lekro shnei shemos be'echad. Sorry. Ki echad dvarv kayamim v'im amar tmuras ola v'nimlach v'amar tmuras shlamim. I raise it tmuras ola. So Rav Yossi says, look, he wanted the animal to be both. It's just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to say Shamar v'zachar b'dibur achad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can have two things coming out of his mouth and simultaneously. But we're human beings. And I can't say Ola Shlamim at the same time. So I said Hareze Ola Hareze Shlamim. And as a result of that, the animal is going to be both according to Rav Yossi. However, if I say the animal is an Ola, and then I try to change it later, so the animal is, and I try to say the animal, no, the animal is a Shlamim, too late. Once I've labeled the animal an ola, the animal's an ola. The Havina Banim Lach Pshita, the Gemara says, now, if you change your mind at a later point in time, isn't that obvious? You cannot change your mind. Once an animal is designated as a carbon ola, you can't at a later point in time say, oh, I changed my mind. It doesn't work that way. The Amar Rav Papa Nimlach Pedokide Dibur Kamrinan. So in that Rav Papa explaining Rav Yossi, in explaining an explanation of Rav Yossi, Rav Papa says that what Rav Yossi means is that you try to change your mind, Tokedei Dibur. And even though we generally assume that you have the ability to retract Tokedei Dibur, Rav Papa, in explanation of Rav Yossi, says Rav Yossi doesn't subscribe to that. Rav Yossi says you cannot change your mind even with Tokedei Dibur. So now, according to Rav Papa's explanation, Rav Yossi does not allow a person to change his mind Tokedei Dibur. So with that being stated, so now we try to go back and what we attempted to do is explain the machlokas, the previous machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi, based on whether we subscribe or we don't subscribe to Tokedei Dibur. And we had it that Rav Yossi did subscribe to Tokedei Dibur, but according to Rav Papa, in his explanation of this Mishnah about the animal which is an ola and a shlamim, Rav Yossi does not subscribe to Tokedei Dibur. That's called a stira. Amrei. Trei Tokedei Dibur, have. So the Gemara gives a really technical, nuanced answer. So the Gemara says that really there are two types of Tokedei Dibur. Chai Kedei Shelas Tamil Rav, Chai Kedei Shelas Rav LaTalmud. Two Tokedei Dibur time periods. One, the amount of time it takes a Rebbe to say hello to his Talmud. Two, the amount of time it takes for a Talmud to say hello to his Rebbe. Ki leith, let's just finish. Ki leith le Rav Yossi kidei she'elas Talmud le Rav, shalom alecha Rebbe umori. De nafish. Kidei she'elas a Rav le Talmud, shalom alecha Shalom Alecha Islay. So the Gemara suggests that Rav Yossi subscribes to the short version of Tokedei Dibur. The amount of time it says for the Rebbe to say hello to his Talmud. Rebbe saying hello to his Talmud, Shalom Alecha. Two words. The amount. So for that, Rav Yossi does subscribe to Tochidei Dibor, and that would be our discussion. Masha Ein Kein, if it's the verbose Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umari, the four words that the student should say when he sees his Rebbe, so that Tochidei Dibor, that Rav Yossi does not subscribe to. And so what the Gemara is suggesting now is that it's just a question of how long a period it is between the two statements that are being made. Okay. Yes, question. Okay, let's go. That concludes the Gemara's discussion. As I mentioned, the entire discussion in the Gemara takes place post, after having passed on the halacha. The halacha goes like Abaye, that when Edom come and they lie, and we discover it at a later point in time, so we know they're going to be puzzled from T2, from the point of discovery. Are they also going to be disqualified from T1, from the point they actually testify? So Abaye says, yes, we're going to go back to T1, and that's the halacha, we go back to T1. That's a quick summary, yeah.
Why in a case when someone steals an object and he changes the status of that object, he's not fined for changing the object? But by an animal, there's a different, you have to pay extra.
It's a fine, it's a punitive fine. Meaning,
with another object, you steal something, you fundamentally change it. And
that, right. Right? Why is the fine? I mean, you know, the why questions, I've said this many, many times, the why questions are the hardest questions to answer. You know, why is the Torah impose the fine of Dalvehe only by Shor and Seh? Those are the questions which are most difficult to answer. You're right. In other words, generally speaking, I steal something, I change it, so I don't have to pay Dalvehe. In fact, I get to keep it because I made a Shinui on it. We'll talk more about that in the ninth parak of Baba Kama. Okay? You're right. Well, I just it's so funny. I just told them the whys are so hard to answer. And then and then you start with why. Yeah, go ahead. Huh?
Why should a change?
Shinu Ikona. Oh, that was easy. Okay. Shinu Ikona, you changed it. It's now yours. You have to make. You have to reimburse for that which you stole.
Ah.
I mean, that's, you know. But you change the object. The object becomes yours.
Well,
okay. In other words, every case that happened from T1 to T2 now are going to be. We're going to have to reopen all those cases. And that's why Rava says it makes you understand Rava a lot more. That's why Rava says it's going to create a lot of confusion and a lot of reversing, a lot of basin having to reverse themselves. Okay. All right, let's begin. This next topic of discussion, the Gemara, it's not an easy topic. It's a difficult topic, but conceptually, it's not that hard. Conceptually, it's easy. It's just once the Gemara starts giving the cases and the proofs, then it gets a little bit tricky. But in terms of concept, it goes like this. Okay, just as a quick refresher. If my first prayer witnesses come and say, you know, Sugarman stole the item. So, and the second set of witnesses, I don't know what you're talking about. Sugarman's not that bad a guy. Sugarman didn't steal the item; he bought the item. And so now you have conflicting testimonies whether I stole the item or I bought the item. So I'm sitting there and I'm going to try to defend myself. But the witnesses, each one have their own positions. What happened? Each set of witnesses is a credible set of witnesses. They're just giving two versions of what happened. So what does Beis Din do? Edim amachishim zedzeh. The two witnesses are contradicting each other, and so therefore we just throw the testimony out. Okay. In other words, that's the general idea behind Edim amachishim. However, if the first set of witnesses come and say Sugarman stole, and the second set of witnesses say, well, I'm not really sure how you could say that. You were with us at the time when you're making this accusation. So now the second set of witnesses are going to be believed. That's the Chiddush of Edim Zomimim. So you have, my first scenario, you have Edim HaMachishim, where we just throw everything out. And then we have Edim Zomimim, where we actually believe the second set of witnesses over the first set of witnesses. And as long as the timing is right, so the first set of witnesses are now going to have to pay me what they conspired for me to have to pay. By the way, parenthetically, Ben pointed this out yesterday, the window of opportunity for Edim Zomimim is a really small window, meaning that the only time we're going to apply this rule of Edim Zomimim and Vasisim Lo Kasher Zomim Masos Lachiv is only if the Edim Zomimim come after the Gemar Din, but before the Din was actually carried out. So it's not a huge window of opportunity. Okay. Although, to be frank, and I don't want to open up a Pandora's box, but when it comes to a monetary case, you can always say that after the Gemar Din, you can make the argument that after the Gemar Din, it's always undoable. Meaning, even if it was paid, but money can always go back. Okay. I apologize for opening up that Pandora's box. I immediately close it, and we move on. Generally speaking, the window of opportunity for Edom Zomim is a really small window. Okay. So there's a big difference between colliding witnesses, contradictory testimonies, versus where the second set of witnesses are not saying anything about the actual testimony about themselves. They're saying you can't testify because you were with us at the time. And the Chiddush HaTorah is that we believe the second set over the first set. Now, parenthetically, even though it's a Chiddush HaTorah, and we keep repeating that again and again, there is some rationale behind it. Meaning, because the second set of witnesses in Edom Zomimim are saying nothing about the testimony, they're saying, you simply have no right to testify, you were with us at the time. Okay, so it's a question of whether they're arguing on the point, or they're arguing on the person. Okay. But with all that stated, though, still, it's a Chiddush HaTorah. What we're going to be discussing now over the course of today, tomorrow, is the following. Let's say the first set of witnesses first are impugned, first are contradicted, and then turned into Edom Zomimim. So now, do we say that really the Hazama process started with Hachasha and concluded with Hazama? Meaning, if that at the point of Hachasha, at the point of contradiction, do we just simply take this entire case now and throw it out of court? Okay, we're done? Or no? Do we say that even after the point of contradiction, if subsequent to that, a second set of witnesses come and say they were with us at the time, they're still going to be subject to the punishment of Edom Zomimim? Okay. That's the discussion we're going to be having. Amar Rava. Edom Shehuchushu Esof Huzmu. Ne'eragin. Let's say the Edom were first contradicted, and then, after contradicted, turned out to be Edom Zomimim. So Rava says these witnesses are going to be killed. Why? Meaning, obviously, we're talking about a capital case. Otherwise, we're not having a discussion. So when we're talking about a capital case where first their testimony has been proven to be, or not proven, contradicted. Okay, let's be very clear. If first their testimony is first contradicted, and then afterwards the second set of witnesses come and say, Imanu Aisim HaMakom Ploni, and oh, by the way, you have no right to testify because you were with us at the time that you claimed that the crime occurred. So then, Asitzim Lo Kasher Zamam Lasa Sachiv, we're going to treat them as Edom Zomimim, even though their testimony already was contradicted. Now, why should that be? So here we go. The key line of Rava's argument: Hachasha Tchila Sazama Hi, because the contradiction is just simply the beginning of the Hazama. Meaning, we don't have to break it down as Hachasha then Hazama. Hachasha is really part of the Hazama. It's the beginning of the Hazama. The Hazama and the Hachasha can be bundled together so that, really, when all said and done, we're gonna boil it down, and they really are just nothing more than Edom Zomimim. Now,
and are you saying the ground for the Hachasha is the Hazama?
It's the, again, I'll say it as clearly as I can, as I'll use the Gemara's terminology. It's the beginning of the Hazama. The beginning of the Hazama process is the Hachasha. But it's all really part of the Hazama. Elish lo nigmara, but rather it just simply didn't conclude yet. Meaning that it started off as their testimony being contradicted, but then it moved on to, and oh, by the way, how could you testify? You were with us at the time, and that hachasha is just simply part of the hazama, and therefore they're going to be killed. Amar Rava mena amin ala detanya. And he says, and how do I know that? I know that based on the following. Now, I told you, the concept is more or less straightforward. Even the concept needs a lot more explanation. But the concept is, according to Rava, that if first Hachasha, then Hazama, it really is a case of Hazama, and you do to them what they conspired, even though their testimony itself was already contradicted. Because the Hachasha is the beginning of Hazama. That's the concept. Now the proof for that comes from the following case, and here's where it's going to get a little bit tricky. We're going to start this today, we're going to continue tomorrow. D'tanya, we learned in a braisa. Midana b'yishponi shesimas ein avdo v'hipil et shino. Okay, now there's testimony about terrible abuse between a master and a slave. And I say terrible abuse, the master first gouged the eye of the slave and then knocked out a tooth. Now, we all know, we've gone through enough Gemara to know that once an extremity of a slave has been knocked out, an eye, a tooth, a digit, once an extremity is knocked out, so then he goes free. He's a free man. And by a free man, we mean by that is that he is a full-fledged Jew.
Okay. Also, or just an eye or
a leg? Both. Oh. When I say both, either. So, Simes Eino Avdovi Pilashino. So, first he knocks out an eye, and then he knocks out his tooth. So, really terrible abuse. Now, good. So, we labeled it as terrible abuse. But now let's deal with it clinically, from a Gemara standpoint. What happened? So, with the knocking out of his eye, so he went free. So now, with the next blow that comes, and when the knocking out of the tooth, so now he has to pay him the dental bill for the knocking out of the tooth. Right? All the damages. The nezik, the tzar, the boshas, the ripui. In other words, we're going to treat him like a full-fledged Jew. And he's going to have to make full reparation on the tooth that he knocked out. Now, then the brisa says something which is just almost impossible to understand. But I'll read it. Sha'arei Arav Omer Kain. And the master agrees to that. He agrees to it, he doesn't agree to it, it really shouldn't make a difference. What did the Bryce mean by that? Stay tuned. V'nimtzu zomimim. And then the witnesses turn out to be Edom zomimim, mishamim demei ayin la'evet. So then the Bryce concludes, once they turn out to be Edom zomimim, so then they're going to have to pay the value of the eye to the evet. All this makes no sense. Mm-hmm. The Bryce, as it's presented to us, of course makes no sense. And the Gemara breaks down all the things that are wrong with the brisa. Hey chidami, ilem kedikani deleka kasachrina mishamen demei ein laeved basa demafkele lecheres demei eno kabayi shlemei. So first of all, I don't understand why are you paying the value of the eye to the eved, right? The knocking out of the eved is what caused him to go free. Meaning on the knocking out of the eye, what is that really? Who's really suffering a loss with the knocking out of the eye? Not the eved. The owner of the Eved. The owner of the Eved has just lost his Eved. That Eved to him was a commodity. And now because of the testimony that he knocked out the eye of his Eved, so now his Eved going free. So that's a loss to the owner, not to the Eved. V'od demei kulei Eved l'rabbi l'shlomei. And why then, if the issue is the freeing of a slave, we're well past the point of the eye, we're now talking about the full value of the Eved. Meaning that with the knocking out of the eye, with the testimony of the knocking out of the eye, now the Eved goes free. So really, what's that loss over here? An entire Eved Kanani to the owner. So we shouldn't be talking about the value now. We should be talking about the value of the entire Eved Kanani. And furthermore, and the master agrees to all this. Why in the world would he agree to all this? I mean, if he has a conscience and he wants to say the right thing and do the right thing, fine. But the Bryce is making this big point of, and the master says so. Well, why would he want to say so? What is that talking about? So, Alalaf Kagon. So the Gemara says, obviously, we're missing a step in the Bryce. That point is clear. That there's something going on in the Bryce that was not articulated, and we need to insert it. And then we are going to do that. We're going to insert it. And then the Bryce is going to come out a lot clearer. And once the Bryce comes out a lot clearer, then we're going to be able to punctuate Rava's point. Let's do this. Okay. So the first set of witnesses come and say that it was a combination punch, first a tooth and then an eye that was knocked out. Okay. Now, on the knocking out of the tooth, now the Eved Kanani went free. He's no longer an Eved Kanani. Now, on the knocking out of the eye, so now he's got to pay the value of the eye. An eye is worth a lot more than a tooth. Second set of witnesses say, you're wrong, to the first set of witnesses. Now, you're not patently wrong, but you got the order all wrong. First, it was the tooth that was knocked out. Then, it was the eye that was knocked out. Other way around. The second set of witnesses say it was first the eye and then it was the tooth. Okay, and so really what the owner has to pay his slave, and again, it's not really an owner slave anymore, because once the eye was knocked out, it's just two Jews fighting. But once the eye is knocked out, so now he has to pay the value of the tooth, not the value of the eye. So really over here, they're not having a major debate But it is important from a monetary standpoint, meaning does this guy have to pay this guy the value of his eye or the value of the tooth? And really the order of which one got knocked out is going to make all the difference. Meaning whichever one gets knocked out, he goes free. And the second one that gets knocked out, now he has to make full payment on that which he knocked out. So the first set said it was tooth eye. The second set says no, it was eye tooth.
Just give it a moment.
Let's play this out. Delo by lamesavle. Ela demeshino deka. I'm sorry. Va'amri eno v'hadoshino. Delo by lamesavle. Ela demeshino. Deka mechashu le kamay lemetzia. Now they're edim hamachishim. Now again, I'm admitting. It's not a full contradiction over here. It really, what they're really arguing about is just simply the order of how this guy abused this guy. But it's going to make a big difference monetarily.
Why are they accepting the second one over the first one if they're just contradicting?
Wait. V'hainu sha'arei ha'arav omer kein. Denichale b'may dekamre. But at least now we understand what the Bryce is talking about when the master is applauding the second set of witnesses. Of course the master is applauding the second set of witnesses, because now instead of having to pay the value of the eye to this guy, he's now only going to have to pay the value of the tooth. Okay, a significantly less amount. The Kitani, now. So here's what happened. So first set of witnesses say that this guy owes this guy the value of his eye. The second set of witnesses says no. This guy owes this guy the value of his tooth. Fine. So that is the difference between the first set and the second set of witnesses. Now, nimsu zomimim. Now along comes the third pair of witnesses and say to the second pair of witnesses, what are you doing? You're coming and you're testifying, and meanwhile, you weren't there at the time, and we know you weren't there at the time because you were with us at the time in a totally different location. So how are you even getting involved over here? So, mitzia mishamim deme ayin le'eved. So now, the second set of witnesses are going to have to go into their own pocket and pay the value of the eye to the Eved. Okay, so because that's what they were looking to cause a loss to the Eved, and so therefore they're going to have to pay the value of the eye.
Why not the difference between an eye and a tooth?
All right. Excellent point. Well, that's an excellent point. Come back to that. So in the meantime, however, what now that we've constructed the case of the Braisa, again, we've speculated, but now that we've constructed the case of the Braisa, so essentially, let's look at it from now, the second set of witnesses. They were first contradicted, then they were proven to be Adam Zomimim, and then, again, we're speculating, but, and then they're going to have to go into their pocket and pay as Adam Zomimim, even though the testimony was contradicted. So what do you see if we're right about everything we just said? That even though it's hachasha followed then by hazama, we're still going to apply the rules of hazama, and that proves Rava's point that even though first hachasha followed by hazama, hachasha is really the lead-in into the hazama, but really fundamentally they're Adam Zomimim, and therefore they're going to have to pay as Adam Zomimim, and even though you could have made the argument, well, once their testimony is contradictory, we just throw it out, to that the Gemara is saying, no, we don't just throw it out, but we actually, if they're proven to be Adam Zomimim, so their hachasha turns into hazama, and they are going to be treated as Adam Zomimim. But again, all this is good if all of our speculation in the Braisa is correct. The Braisa didn't state this clearly. We kind of filled in the gaps in the Braisa, but quite honestly, the Braisa needs an explanation. It demands an explanation. We gave one. And if we're right, that's a big if. So now we have proven Rava's point.
Okay. Why are you, in the first case, when the witnesses are contradicting each other, why are you basing a verdict based on the second set of witnesses if they're contradictory? Why are we accepting the second witness over the first one?
The Gemara is not entertaining the idea that they're going to accept one over the other. The Gemara is just simply saying they're contradictory one another.
I know, but the thing is, the
Braisa never said we're going to favor the second over the first.
What's that?
The Braisa did not say we're favoring the second over the first.
In terms of penalty, you are, and that's why the
only thing we know from the Braisa is that he's going to go free. In terms of the actual monetary amount that he's going to have to pay, the Gemara says we don't know. Now, let's leave it like that. Okay, again, there's much more to discuss about this. Tomorrow's daf, we're going to be discussing more about this particular case. So we'll come back tomorrow. So let's just quickly recap. And then afterwards, we'll quickly discuss tomorrow's schedule. What comes out now is that we finish up the topic of when Edom turn out to be Edom Zomimim. And even though the discovery of them being Edom Zomimim takes place at a later point in time, we're still going to go Lamafer retroactive to the time when they actually lied. That is Abaye's position. The Gemara says this is one of six times throughout Shas that we pass like Abaye. And Eid Zomim is Nifsal Lemafreh. He is disqualified retroactively. And the Gemara had a lengthy discussion on Gimel Amud Aleph. Perhaps this is a Machlokas Tanayim. Perhaps, but the Gemara ends up rejecting that. Really, the issue was Tokadei Dibur and Rav Yossi, and maybe there are two types of Tokadei Dibur or two durations of Tokadei Dibur. Rav Yossi agrees to one duration, but not to the longer duration. Fine. And then the Gemara discusses, and this is what we started today, and we're going to continue tomorrow, the topic of Edom that first are contradicted and then proven to be Edom Zomimim. And do we say that post-contradiction, they could be subject to the Zomimim punishment? And Rava's position is, yes, they can. Because really, Hachash is the beginning of a Zama, and so even though it was after their testimony was contradicted, if they're subsequently turned out to be Edom Zomimim, we're going to apply the rule of Edom Zomimim, even though it started as a contradiction, could lead to Hazama, and if they're proven to be Edom Zomimim, it will lead to Hazama. And Rava's position is clearly favoring that viewpoint. We have a Brisa. The Brisa seems to make this point as well, although we needed to make a lot of speculative points within the Brisa.